Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for sung worship. We thank you for the privilege of prayer for each of us. We thank you for your word. And now as we turn to that word this morning, we pray again that you will open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to receive from you just what you want to say to us this morning. So bless us now as we listen to that word given through a human voice. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Isn't that great, great comfort to us? I hope it is. Because normally we're a people of change, aren't we? We see change all around us, all the time. We're people who are subject to change. The seasons change. I was out yesterday. I like heavy horses. And I saw where there was a ploughing match, not too far away. And I thought, well, I'll go with my camera and I'll take some pictures of some heavy horses. It was absolutely freezing. It was open fenland. The wind was howling across. And then the rain came in that level. Like that. Didn't come that way. Well, level. It was bitter cold. And you may, my mind went back to June, July, and August, where there were people, and I may have been one of them, saying, oh, it's so hot today. Oh, it's so, so hot. I can't stand this heat. I wish it would get a bit cooler. I wasn't asking that yesterday. I wasn't asking that for happening yesterday. Yesterday I was saying, Lord, give me some warmth. And eventually Abel went home. It's my own fault. I chose to go, didn't I? But it was bitter cold. But we're subject to change. The seasons change. And that's lovely. That's a great part of our country, isn't it? To have the cold of the winter and the beauty of spring with new growth and the warmth of summer and the autumnal colours. That's part of the beauty of our country, isn't it? The changes. But the weather changes. One minute it can be lovely and sunny and bright. We got up lovely now. I wouldn't be surprised within an hour's time it's black with cloud. It's too late, I've said it now. And the rain's coming down because it will change. It will change. The seasons change. Fashions change. They do tell me, you know, that if I kept my clothes from, like, when I was young, and I'm not telling you when I was young, but if I kept my clothes from when I was young, they'd be in fashion today. Unfortunately, the people who are saying those sorts of things don't know what fashion I had a few years ago, do they? So they're, but the fashions change and they come back in and they go back out. Our feelings change, often unaccountably, depending on our physical, our mental, or spiritual influences that come upon us. Our feelings change from day to day. Our tastes change. Our tastes changed dramatically. Do you know, my mum and dad, I met a lady from who knew East Burgold today. I grew up in East Burgold. Do you know East Burgold? Flatford Mill, like around that area. I grew up there, and my mum and dad lived in that area all their lives. I'm not sure. They didn't go out of the country once. I don't think they left the country at all. And also, they never ate, I can say honestly, they never ate pizza. And they never ate Chinese food, ever. But things have changed, haven't they? And there may be some people here last night, let's call up the pizza man, and they'll bring a pizza in, or Chinese, or bring a Chinese in. Or we went to the restaurants where there's so... Our tastes have changed, and we're happy to embrace the tastes of other countries at the moment. Our tastes have changed over the years. Our circumstances change. Our feelings change. But I'm so grateful this morning that I can stand here in Haverhill Methodist Church and amongst all the changeability that we may see in our world, in our own lives, in our circumstances, there is one we can turn to who is unchanging. Micah chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. And thank you for those who read the readings this morning. One of them at the end was some of the things that the Lord says he will do for us in our lives, if you were listening. And it talks about the things that he will continually do in our lives. And there, Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be to tomorrow. I don't think this means that God does not alter his methods and his ways of dealing or with reaching men. He changes his ways that he will reach out in different ways. And they've changed over the years to how he reaches out to men and women and boys and girls and draws them into a relationship with him. But as to his character, his truth and his grace and all of his ways, he is unchangeable. He will never alter his attitude towards sin. He will never attitude to those things which we say and we do and we think that are not of God. He doesn't want those things in our lives. And he will not change that he wants to change and transform the lives of men and women. He will never alter his attitude to his grace towards the sinner who repents. He will never alter his faithfulness or all his dealings with his people. And what we can say of God, our Heavenly Father, is true of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, just for a few moments this morning, I'm just going to look at that passage from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm not asking you to put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. But I'm going to say, is there anyone within our fellowship today who hasn't said at one time or another and speak about the good old days? The good old days. Used to be a television program about that, didn't there? It was a music hall. The good old days. I hope there's no one here who does that, because they're speaking as of the good old days as if they're better than today. And that's a mistake. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10 says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. But there are people who yearn. We say, yearn for days gone past, when things were different. But the scripture says, it is not wise to ask those questions. To talk this way is to suggest that God is not the same as he was yesterday, which just isn't true. As he was in Abraham's day, calling this man Abraham from his home country, from his hometown, and say, Abraham, I want you to pack up everything and I want you to travel to another land. And he didn't even tell him where that land was, but I want to travel, want you to travel to another land. And while he's leading him to that land, he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you that you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be the father of a great nation. And you can understand Abraham sort of mocking a little bit. What are you saying, Father? What are you saying, God? The only child we have is born to the servant girl. My wife's well on in years, as I am. And you say I'm going to be the father of a great nation, numberless as the stars in the sky and the seashore, the sand on the seashore. And yet God was faithful, and God was faithful to Abram. And he proved what he said would be true. Because as he was in Abraham's day, he is today. As he was in Moses' day, and we know the story of Moses so well, put into the bulrushes so that the Herod's people wouldn't be able to, or Pharaoh's people couldn't come and take him and kill him. Taken by the princess into the courts, and there he would receive the education that would make him a great man. And then leading him out into the desert, where one day he stands in front of a burning bush and God speaks to him and says, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to bring my people out. We know what Moses was like. He made excuse, one excuse after the other. And God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in those circumstances. And so Moses went back and led the people back to the promised land, to the borders of the promised land. As he was in Moses' day, he is today. As he was in David's day, taking a young boy out in the fields, looking after his father's sheep, making him into a poet and a musician, and making him into a king to lead his people, despite the mistakes that David had made, despite some of his doings that were not of God. God was able to use David in that particular situation, and it was in David's day. He is today. We could go on and think about Elijah raising up a prophet to stand and speak his holy word to a doubting people. As he was in Elijah's day, he is today. And we could come up further. We could think of people within the Methodist Church. We could think of John Wesley as he was in John Wesley's day when he led him out as a great evangelist to preach the word of Christ, to go around, travelling around. We could speak of Charles Wesley with writing the hymns that have spoken and used, helped the church to worship and challenge people. We could speak of the Salvation Army's own William Booth, who he said, I want you to start working and ministering in the East End of London. And William Booth was honourable to that call, as he was in Wesley's day, as he was in Booth's day. And we could come right up today, as he was in their day, he is today. He still calls people. He still calls people to do work. And he still makes covenants with people and says, I want to use you in a fantastic way, that you haven't even begun to think how you can be used in our world today. He still says to people, I want you to go, as he did to Moses, I want you to go and minister to a people that are not being ministered to at the moment. But I want you to go. And he needs people to respond to that. He still needs people in this day, as Elijah did, to stand up and speak the word of God powerfully in our nation. Our nation needs to hear the word of God in these days. It desperately needs. And he needs people to stand up because he's the same today. The great God who will help us, as he was yesterday. And so he was the same yesterday and the same today. So we ask ourselves, is the love of Jesus that he had for mankind any less today than it was in his day? Surely not, we have to say. The measureless, extravagant, matchless love that took our Saviour to the cross of Calvary for you and for me, who poured out his blood for you and for me, who paid the price at a terrible death for you and me, is still as loving and is still as gracious and is still abiding with us today. It has no beginning and it has no end. Is his power to do miraculous things any less today than it was in his day? Certainly not. The power to heal, the power to save, the power to forgive is still as mighty today. He never grows weary. His patience is never exhausted. Time does not alter his heart or his compassion for the lost. He desires to see people come to him and enter into a relationship and ask him into their hearts as much today as he did as he walked on earth, because he is the same today as he was yesterday. Is his sight dim? Of course not. Of course not. He still sees the need of his people. He still sees the need of his people. As God said, I have seen my people. I've seen their anguish. I've seen their suffering. As he said to Moses before he sent him back, I've seen the needs of my people. And he still sees those needs of those people today. He still sees the need of the hurting, of those who are suffering, of those who are being sold into slavery, who are being trafficked for indescribable things in our world today. His sight is not dim, and nor has his hearing failed. He still hears the cries of hurting people. He still hears the prayers of the praying people. And he still hears the voice of the seeking person who asks them to come, for him to come into their lives. He still hears the voice of the hurting and the crying. Men and women today are proving that Jesus Christ is a living Saviour. You are witness to that in this church this morning. And if we had time for you to stand up and give your testimony, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, would be able to stand up and say, I have experienced the wonderful, soul-changing life that Jesus Christ has brought to me as a living Saviour. We're experiencing his love and his power in our lives because we have put our trust in him in these days. We can rely on his grace and his power and prove that he is the same today as he was yesterday. You look at some of the saints and you think of some of the people who used to worship here that are no longer, and you've got this lovely service on Thursday to be able to remember those that have gone before us. But I'm sure many of you can think about some of the people who used to worship in this church, saints of God, saints, people who embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and served him in so many ways. Jesus Christ was with them, but he's also with us today, now, and he wants to do great things in our lives, and he wants to use us. There is work to be done. There are people to be ministered to. And so I pray that as a church, that our love hasn't grown less, that our eyes are not blind to the needs of the hurting people, that we haven't gone deaf to the cries of the people who need to know something of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, who need transformation in their lives. And I pray as a congregation that we're still full of love, eyes open, ears listening for people that we can turn to and minister to in this day and this age, because Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. And will be the same tomorrow. What comfort and strength and rest is found in believing this. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult. That's a hard thing to be able to say and then put into practice. But you know, tomorrow, with whatever you have to face, whatever anxieties that you may have to accept into your life, whatever worry that may come, and it may be something to do with finance, you know, sort of jobs, our homes, our health. We don't know what we're going to face this coming week. We may get a letter that we just don't really want to receive. Do not worry, for when tomorrow comes, there will be a faithful God and an unchangeable Christ, as there was yesterday and there is today. The Lord will not die or change in the night, and as surely as the sun will rise tomorrow, we sang about from the going down of the sun to, you know, for coming up as well, the Lord will not die or change in the night, and as surely as the sun will rise somewhere tomorrow, we may not see it because of clouds, so will he be present in our world, in our community, in each of our lives. Not removing all those trials and testings and temptations we may face, but being there in them with us. Wealth and riches may be lost, health may fail us, friends desert us or let us down, We do not know what the future holds, but our Saviour remains the same because he is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and the day after and the month after and the year after and the decade after, for he will not change. Not the sort of song we probably will sing on a Sunday morning, but how often do we sing the hymn, "Abide with Me"? And within that hymn, the words come and we sing them with great gusto and belief. O thou who changest not, abide with me. So what should we do as a congregation, as a body of Christ, who worship here in this place, and then go out and serve in the communities that you represent? We must beware of relying on the uncertainty things of life that so easily can be here today and gone tomorrow. I think the little boy down here had brought in a dandelion flower, but the flower had gone. He's got those little fluffy bits on top. You know those things where you can... Gone. Beware of those things and relying on those things that can go with a puff of wind, a puff of fresh air. And put our trust in an unchangeable Saviour whose promises and characters never change and never fail. My prayer for this church is that you may know the love and the mercy and the grace of an unchangeable Christ who loves you without measure, longs for you to go grow deeper and deeper into a relationship with him than perhaps you're already in at the moment, and trust and rely on his unchanging grace and his unchanging mercy and his unchanging love for you and for the world that he came for and died for. My prayer is that this church will go from strength to strength, and new men and women and boys and girls will, through your ministry, through your sharing with people that you come in contact with, for your invitations to come along and meet this Jesus here in this place, I pray that this church will go from strength to strength. And you will see more and more people come into that knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour through your ministry. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord encourage you in all that you do in his dear and precious name. Amen. Amen.